Welcome to Tech and Law Insights, episode 2, hosted by Lurie.ai. This is a podcast series where we explore the intersection of technology, innovation, and the legal industry. I'm your host, Rupa, Chief Product Officer at Lurie. Today, I'm thrilled to have with us Oscar Turk-Gench, a member of our board of directors and one of our earliest supporters who joined the founding team right after the launch of our first beta product, Briefcase. Oscar brings a wealth of experience in technology strategy and transformation, having worked with industry giants like IBM, Anthem, and Wolters Kluwer, where he pioneered some of the earliest commercial applications of AI. His background in both technology and business strategy makes him uniquely qualified to discuss the future of legal tech and AI-driven innovation. Thanks for joining us today, Oscar.
Hey, Rupa. I'm thrilled to be here, and thanks for the opportunity. We just go ahead and jump in.
Awesome. I'm so excited to ask you our first question about what drew you to legal tech space and what potential did you see in Lurie's vision, given that you joined Lurie AI right after our first beta launch?
Yeah, well, great question to start with. So I think it was back in 2024, summertime, and with Dean Rosenwald, the CEO and chairperson at Lurie, I was just chatting about how his law school experience been, and he made the point around he was really shocked to the low level of technology, being a part of the entire discussion in law education. And that kind of made me think. And I started looking up a few charts. And soon enough, I realized the adoption of technology in general and AI specifically was relatively law in the legal space. And that immediately made me think, well, if the adoption is really low, the opportunity to make a great impact has to be relatively high. So that kind of motivated me to look further into Lurie and the value prop. And it was right on that, and that really got me excited and just wanted to be part of the movement.
That's really insightful. My next question is, how do you see the legal industry's digital transformation journey then comparing to other sectors? You've led numerous digital transformation initiatives across various industries. Where do you see the law industry fitting in?
I would immediately start by looking at which industries are regulated and which ones are not or less regulated, right? So, and the highly regulated industries, there is sort of a different opportunity in terms of overall digital transformation and the use of AI within driving that, right? Because there is inherent complexity that comes with the regulations, especially those where there each state has their own regulatory requirements and the interaction across the country then carries that complexity. And add on top of that any international dealings, right? So the legal space is very much in the highly regulated space, primarily due to the bars of each state and their unique and specific requirements and processes. So with that and just the highly fragmented landscape of the industry as well. What I mean by that is, you know, large companies having their legal departments to solo and just a simple partnership type, practicing attorneys, to small law firms, to mega giant law firms as well. And more recently, like we hear in the news that the big four accounting and tax advisory firms are interested in offering legal services, and they're making moves in that direction. So the industry's fragmented, highly regulated, there is a ton of complexity. And even within the practice of law, I mean, look at how many different areas of law, there are. And these law firms either specialize in one or a few of these areas, right? So there is also an element of specialization. So so with all this complexity, comes a lot of opportunity in terms of how do we address this? How do we look at any manual processes, any redundancies across the ecosystem? And that's where digital transformation is poised to make great impact, right?
Right. That's really incredible to hear some of these strategic considerations that legal tech companies could prioritize. And this comes directly from your experience developing multi-cloud strategies and product-based operating models. And so, as someone who's been involved in multiple successful digital transformations, for example, at Anthem, you developed the first commercialization use case for IBM Watson in healthcare, another highly regulated industry that you mentioned as well. Specifically in legal tech, where do you see the biggest opportunities for innovation?
Yeah, good question. So, and I'll relate back to the early experiences we had when we worked on those first use cases, in a healthcare setting, and also in care delivery, right? So, in right now, this moment in time, I think we can look at two different aspects. One is in the legal tech space, the potential of prompt engineering and leveraging existing large language models as they continue to evolve, right? And that's where we have the opportunity to make almost immediate impact, right? So with the right prompt engineering, with the suitable language model, without a huge investment, money and time, we could make an impact in terms of automating workflows, or helping students with their research and with their study of law, right? And that's one area. Then there is the other consideration where we can think about the dynamic between the practicing attorneys within a law firm, for example. And it's very much an apprenticeship model, right? So master and apprentice, junior attorneys are continuously trained by the partners of the law firm, where they become seniors, where they become partners, right? So just like in management consulting or in architecture, that's kind of the nature of the trait, if you will, right? So in that, the consideration is, well, then what is the level of precision and accuracy if we take on the mastery, right? The actual practice of law, and basically try to create digital twins, and help with the apprenticeship, help with access to justice by being able to provide legal services to many more people in need at a lower cost. So those two distinct considerations actually get me excited, yet they seem to have different paths of maturity of their own, where the first one, the former, is in fact running, going, and growing much, much faster due to the law level of investment requirement and speed to market, where the latter is it even possible? Is it even, it's more of a, research or, use case to be proven, if you will, right? And it's going to take a longer time, even if it's going to happen someday.
Thank you for that answer. And given all of this advice, do you have any specific advice you would give to law students or legal professionals who are trying to navigate the rapidly evolving landscape of these AI tools and legal technology availability?
I don't know if it's my place to give them advice, but if I can share my thoughts, to the people living in the world of WordPerfect. So I looked this up before our discussion, and the market share of WordPerfect in office suites is still like 2.3%. And I bet about 2% of that total comes from law firms still using WordPerfect, right? So it's a very behavior-oriented, very conservative, traditional kind of setting. And I bet, and I see this in my discussions as well, the whole concept, the premise of AI and all these technologies impacting the profession is just overwhelming, to practicing attorneys. They really want to keep focusing on serving their clients, excelling in their profession, and they're absolutely right. So then what is the starting point, right? What is a good path to exploring? What could be helpful, what could be good for them? And that is, I'd say, in areas like research, search, find, and distill large amounts of information. And they already do that, through various databases. So with some seamless integration tools where those large result sets are distilled for consumption by attorneys, that could be one area where they can immediately start leveraging these technologies. The other is more around workflows, right? Because each law firm is also a business, and they have internal workflows where there's intake, where there is document management, where there is billing and accounting, so on and so forth, right? So collaboration as well, and not within just one law firm, but also with external entities, since law firms specialize in areas of law, right? In some cases, they just need to collaborate with other law firms or with other attorneys, even in other states and other countries as well, right? So depending on the need, there is also a significant opportunity in addressing these manual workflows that really don't add value to their clients, cases, but more so an overhead, from the operations of the law firm itself. So that could be another area where practicing attorneys can, consider sort of testing out these technologies. And I think that's where the race is on, actually. And Lori's actively looking into that area as well, in terms of like, how can we automate and bring the cost down in these low value added, processes, manual processes for law firms and practicing attorneys.
That's right. I've seen how you've brought this leadership of creative problem solving and analytics to building legal tech products at Lurie. Can you speak a little bit more on how these qualities of analytics and creative problem solving can help others build successful legal tech products?
Yeah, thank you for the flattering remarks. For the strategy role perspective, right? So the way I work with the members of the Lurie team is team up in their respective areas. For example, with you, like we team up around product strategy, with go to market strategy, with Vanessa, our chief operations officer, I team up with her around core competencies for Lurie in terms of what should our AR platform be? What should our CRM platform look like? What are the other internal capabilities we need to address exponential growth? And those are just examples. I do that with all of the team members, addressing all of the areas. So that's where I think those skill sets and experience comes handy, because I'm kind of able to switch gears, mm-hmm. and work with you, then work with in the area of innovation, work within the area of outreach, work with our CEO on the vision, overall vision, and then bring it down to a specific challenge in terms of our next step in solving a customer's problem. So that's where how I kind of tend to leverage both the skill set and the experience.
That makes a lot of sense, and I think you've distilled a lot of important information with our viewership today. So thank you, Özgür, for sharing your insights with us. Your unique perspective on technology transformation and innovation strategy provides valuable guidance for legal professionals and technologists. To our listeners, thank you for joining us for our first episode of Legal Tech Leaders. And our second episode for Technology and Law Insights, brought to you by Lurie.ai. Remember to subscribe to stay updated on future episodes, where we'll continue to explore the evolving landscape of legal technology. We certainly hope to have you back, Özgür.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and a lovely discussion, as always.
Likewise. Thank you, everyone.